This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we got the final part of the Texans position series, the offensive line. Appropriately, I'm with the former Texans offensive lineman, Wade Smith. Before we get to that, we got a little bit of news out of the NFL. The Jacksonville Jaguars have announced they will play games in 2020 at a maximum of 25% capacity. That's good. That's business as usual, right? Like that's about what they usually have. So good for them. Congrats.
I would say
it's normal.
Listen, I would say that normally they're at 50%, so they're sacrificing just like everybody else, man. They dropped their number down to 25%. That's half of the revenue that they're normally getting out there in Jacksonville, so I ain't mad at them for doing the right thing and sacrificing just like everybody else.
We look at this Texans offensive line, the final part of the position series. You feel good about this offensive line. You feel real good. As a matter of fact, if you ask me what I feel best about on this Texans football team, there's a lot of question marks about a lot of things. The offensive line is what I feel best about, which you should. When you give up two firsts, then you use a first-round draft pick, then you use a couple seconds, and you make Nick Martin the highest-paid center. Based on the resources, this should be a good offensive line. I think it's going to be very good. Before we answer the question as to whether it can be better than the one Wade Smith played on, let's just go man for man here. Laremy Tunsil, very, very rich Laremy Tunsil, highest paid offensive lineman of all time. Smitty got the best of Bill O'Brien. He stood across from Bill O'Brien and he got that bread. Here is King Bill talking about what it was like negotiating with the starting left tackle for your Houston Texans.
We knew that Laremy Tunsil was going to get paid because we feel like he is top left tackle in the National Football League. Our sack total dropped about 20 to 25 from the previous year with him in the lineup. We had a great negotiation with Laremy. He was very honest. We were very honest, very upfront. Jack Easterby was very instrumental in the negotiation with Laremy and his team, and we're thrilled to have Laremy Tunsil on our team.
He's got a target on my back.
Man, I'd say instrumental. I don't know. When you end up paying what you paid, I don't know if anyone's really instrumental in the negotiation. I think you basically just negotiated and gave him what he wanted. This ain't like some sort of like Pat Mahomes deal where there might be some wiggle room.
Yeah.
Laremy got the best of the Texans, but from a player's perspective, Smitty.
Yeah.
Left tackle's on lock, right? It has to be.
Oh yeah, he's going to be the franchise left tackle for the next 4 years. He's going to play at a high level for the next 4 years, and so from the perspective of somebody that's a fan is watching the team, that's what you want to know. Is the guy that's the left tackle, is he good at his job? Is he dominant at his job? Laremy Tunsil has that. He has that ability to shut down the best pass rusher on the other team, and he's going to do that on a very, very consistent basis. The part about Laremy Tunsil that gives you a little pause or gives you a little hesitation is the fact that, hey, he had some issues last year with snap count issues. Exactly. He had issues with jumping offside and false starts.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be minimized tremendously this year because he's got a whole year in the franchise. I think him and Nick Martin are going to get on the same page to where the ball can get snapped exactly when it's supposed to get snapped. And then that issue, once that issue goes away, there's nothing to complain about. Yeah, I mean, once you get that part worked out with Laremy Tunsil, there's really nothing to complain about. He's a top five, top three left tackle in the NFL right now.
So you feel good about Laremy Tunsil on the offensive line. Texans offensive line position series. Let's go to Laremy Tunsil's right. Left guard, Max Sharping. Second round pick last season. Didn't know if he was going to start. Didn't know if he was going to be a tackle. Didn't know if he was going to be a guard. Ended up being a left guard. How do you feel about Max Sharping, the starting left guard for your Houston Texans?
So I will say this. Max Sharping had a solid season for a rookie. And that's what you, out of a rookie, you just want the rookie to be solid. You don't expect them to be exceptional. You don't want them to pee down their leg. You want them to be solid. He was solid for a rookie. What he's got to do next year, or this upcoming year, to take that next step, is to be solid, period. So you can compare him with any of the other veteran offensive linemen in the league and say, hey, dude is solid at his spot. He's playing at a level that is commensurate to veteran offensive linemen throughout the league. And so I liked a lot what I saw about out of Max Sharp, and I like that he's a cerebral guy. He's not going to make mistakes of not knowing where to go. And what he's got to do now is take that next step to where he's more physical at the point of attack, where he's working, getting to the second level and staying on guys and showing his more quickness and athleticism. Once he starts doing that, now you're going to look at him and say, hey, he's just a good offensive lineman for the Texans, and that'll help the team tremendously.
There we go. So left guard Max Sharping, good?
Yeah, I'm good with him. I'm good with Sharping right now. He's got to improve, but I'm good with him.
The man with the garage weight room that Bill O'Brien has talked about nonstop this offseason, Nick Martin, a very wealthy man after the extension he got last year. You just mentioned that, you know, maybe he can figure out how to snap the ball in time. That's not really what I want to hear about my starting center about a half a decade into his career. But, you know, different standards for different folks. I'm interested by this. How good is Nick Martin? Because you follow the money, he should be damn good. How good is Nick Martin?
So this is the thing about Nick Martin. He had a lot to prove coming into the season. He hadn't really shown or lived up to his hype or his draft status until this past year. I thought he had his best season. He got paid and he had his best season. Usually it goes the other way. Usually somebody gets paid and then they fall off because they feel like they made it. Nick Martin had his best season. He was healthy all year. I think that helped him tremendously. He did have his issues with, to me, and just from watching the film, he had issues with snap count to where the ball is being called for by the center and he's not getting it off on time. And so that led to some false starts and some issues from some of his other linemen, especially Laremy Tunsil, just because Tunsil is so quick off the snap. And so that's something that he's got to work out. And it usually reared its ugly head at home at NRG, which is something I firsthand know what it's like because Chris Myers, who is the best center in the history of the franchise, had the same issue.
Did he have a garage weight room?
He did not. Okay. He did not. We didn't have any issues with, you know, having a – well, maybe he did. I don't know. I don't put anything
– Just ask him.
Myers was my – he's my guy, but he Just was a one-upper, him. So he might have had a garage weight room.
Just ask him.
He might have. But Nick Martin, he is solid. He's not damn good yet. He's not great yet. Okay. If somebody wanted to talk about value and contract, you would say, okay, he's getting overpaid based off of other guys at his position. But if you're an NFL player and you can beat the market, I'm going to salute you 10 times out of 10 because the market will beat you. And so you got to get it where you can get it. Great thing about Nick Martin is he got paid and he had his best season. He's going to have to continue to improve, but he's solid at the center spot.
Don't hold off on that bell figure. That's not quite a bell. let's just hold off on that. Right guard. Restructured contract. Was scheduled to make $6 million. Up and down. Zach Fulton. As we continue the Texans position series, offensive lineman with Smitty in for J-Lo.
So Zach Fulton, he's a veteran. He's a pro's pro. He's a grinder. He's not going to do anything spectacular.
That cliche bell at, Fig.
Say that again.
So where's that cliche bell at, Fig? Describe him again. Go ahead. Say it again.
He's a vet's vet. He's a pro's pro, and he's a grinder. Yeah, that is Zach Fulton. If you were playing Madden, he'd be like an 80 on Madden.
Tough, smart, dependable guys.
Okay.
79, 80 in Madden. That's Zach Fulton. And so he's not going to do anything spectacular, but he's also not going to get you beat. And so he's going to bring some veteran presence to the offensive line room and into the group. And you need that veteran, that type guy on an offensive line. So Zach Fulton, he's pretty good.
Okay.
I'm pretty good with Zach Fulton.
We'll give him a bell. Why not? Titus Howard, second year right tackle. Titus Howard. Good rookie season, all rookie team. Got hurt, though. A little bit concerned about Titus. I want to get your thoughts, but I'm a little bit worried about Titus in year two.
So this is my thing with Titus, man. He has the physical skill set to be a left tackle, but he was able, since Laremy Tunsil was brought in before week one, to move to right tackle, the spot that he played his last year in college, last couple years in college. So him being a right tackle, he has a very, very high ceiling. He has the ability to be one of the better pass-protecting right tackles in the league. He's got to go out and do it, but he has the physical characteristics to be one of those type of guys. Also, like Titus Howard, his temperament, his mindset of trying to finish blocks and getting after guys, he made his fair share of mistakes. They moved him around. Yeah, he's got a nasty disposition, and that's what you want out of offensive linemen. He had some issues last year. They moved him around a bit during training camp before he settled at right tackle.
We
can legislate this out all
like
day.
He was playing duck, duck, goose out there. He's playing, moving everywhere.
Hey, he had to move all over. And that's kind of what they do over there at NRG these days. But he got settled in at his spot, and he got injured. The good thing that I saw about Titus Howard was this. He got injured, messed up his knee. I think he missed a game, but then came back and played in London against Jacksonville, and he had his best game of the season. And it's very difficult, especially at a young age, to figure out how to play with an injury. And I think he did that very, very well against a very good defensive line. And so that's promising with Titus Howard. I think he has a high ceiling. I'm good with him. He's one of those guys that if he can continue on the same trajectory that I think he's on, you could say, all right, you got two bookend tackles that'll be high-end, top 10, top 5 bookend tackles in NFL.
I'm worried about Titus in year two. By the way, give him the bell. He's good. Texans offensive line position series. I'm worried about a guy in a second year that was injured. A, I think that's the biggest test a young guy goes through coming back from an injury. B, I think being away from the facility can kind of hurt a guy in year two, especially when you are injured and looking to take that next step. And C, I think that he might get most of the attention from the opposing defensive coordinators because he does have Laremy opposite side of him. Are my reservations fair?
There are some fair reservations, but I will say this. Kareem Jackson's second year in the NFL was 2011. That was a lockout year. He had a much better second season than he did have rookie season. So keep that in mind. It has been done before.
We will keep that in mind. J.J. Watt's actually going to speak on the difference between a lockout year and the Rona year in 6 minutes. Before we get out of here, let's just do a little rapid fire. Greg Mantz, good guy to have as a backup interior lineman. Good on Greg?
Yeah, good on Greg. He's the first guy in that you want on the interior. He does a good job of that.
All right, pick the swing tackle. Rod Johnson, Brent Quavale, or Charlie Heck, the rookie out of UNC?
It definitely should be Rod Johnson. If it's not Rod Johnson, that's not good for Roger because he should have been. He had an opportunity to be the starting left tackle last year when, what was the dude from Minnesota that was here down here? I can't remember his name right now.
Matt Khalil.
Like, he had an opportunity to start in front of Matt Khalil.
Yeah.
Rod Johnson should be the swing tackle.
I called that when I watched in practice the first time. I said, that guy's good.
Yeah.
There's receipts on it, too. Yeah. Look, people complain about swing tackle. It's a swing tackle for a reason. Like it's not gonna look like it does when you have your starters in there. And getting out of here on this Texans offensive line position series, unless you have thoughts about David Steinmetz, Cordell Owagu, Alex Woodworth. Real quick, why is Sunil Kelamite still on the team?
I have no idea.
You know, they
saved
$2 million getting rid of him. Kind of interesting.
I mean, $2 million is $2 million. I just look at it. I did not realize he was still on the roster.
Here.
I looked at the depth chart. I was like, damn, Sunil is still here. Sure. I thought he was going to be good when he came in, and he's had injuries. He didn't play as well as he played when he was in New Orleans. Yep. There's some reasons probably behind that we can get into another day. But I will say this: you asked the question at the beginning of the segment. Can this offensive line, can it be better than the 2011-2012 offensive line? It'll take a lot of improvement by everybody across the board to be in that category. A lot. I mean, you got to understand a scheme and the actual players within the scheme and the amount of time in that scheme. That's why you had that perfect combination of blocking that went on back in those days. They're not there yet. Is it possible? Anything's possible. But I wouldn't put my money on it.
Wade Smith there. That's the Texans offensive line, part of the In the Loop position series. We'll go to the D-line at noon. J.J. Watt, what's the difference between a lockout year and a Corona year. You'll hear that, as well as some other good insight from number 99, who got headline porn yesterday. Damn shame next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
J.J. Watt spoke yesterday at Pro Football Talk. He got headline porn worse than I can remember such a thing happening. We'll hear that, but let's hear from J.J. Watt. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Mike Florio sat down with him talking about the anticipation of the season in which the Texans are expected to report by the end of the month. There's only about 20 days left in the month, so you can do the math. The clock is ticking. J.J.'s been a part of other unique off seasons. 2011, there was a lockout. This year, there is the Rona. Smitty, you spoke earlier about, you know, Kareem Jackson having to enter the league during a lockout. Here's JJ, who's been through both, talking about the biggest difference between a lockout season like 2011 and the one we're dealing with right now.
Back in 2011, we could still train at gym. The veterans could teach me the playbook. We could run plays. We could do all that stuff. I'm fortunate. I had a situation where I have a gym, I have a field, I can do all my workouts. There are some guys who live in a one-bedroom apartment who the apartment building shut down the gym. They don't have a field to run on. So there's guys that are in different situations all throughout the league. We got to first assess what everybody's been able to do and where their body's at, because it's much different for every guy.
If you're a leasing agent at a complex, just open it up just for the Houston Texan player. Shame on y'all if y'all are really doing that. I mean, y'all need to bend the rules
special.
For that.
We ain't special NFL players.
That's on the leasing agent.
They pay the same amount of rent as everybody else this day,
Take
Landry.
Take it for the team. Take it for the team.
And if you live, if you live there, you would have a problem. Wait a minute. How come they get to use the gym? I can't use the gym. I pay the same bills they pay.
And then they would say, that is so-and-so for the Houston Texans. And I'd say, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
You'd be like, can I get an autograph? I get an autograph, then I ain't going to say
that. Wait, why is the website down? Why can't I pay my rent? But really, I think that is probably the biggest difference is really you can't. Well, he says you can't get together. I mean, I've seen a lot of guys do it. So
yeah, not supposed to get together.
If you're responsible, then it's an obstacle.
Right. Yeah, it's an obstacle because, like he said, you can actually communicate with your coaches, which is something that couldn't be done back in 2011. So that is a positive thing that they have going on. But the fact that you can't have walkthroughs with coaches' instructions, because a lot of guys are visual learners. You can't just put something on the board and then I'm going to learn. I have to actually move and actually walk through in order to get it and retain the information. So there's a bunch of guys that are going to be behind. And if you're a younger player, that is going to hurt your development going forward. And so, but I do know this. There are examples of guys that, like we mentioned earlier, Kareem Jackson came in the league in 2010 and had a bad rookie year. He struggled. But then his 2011 year, he got better. And then 12, he just kept getting better and better. So you would think, all right, if you struggle, you were talking about Titus Howard, if you would struggle a little bit your rookie year, that coming into this year is going to hurt you even further. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think Titus Howard is going to be fine. But I think there's going to be players overall. There will be players that will struggle with this whole deal. I mean, there's going to be some really good football players, guys that are used to having a certain routine that aren't going to look the same out there. This season is going to be an anomaly. There's going to be some exceptions to everything that you would normally get in an NFL season.
Smitty in for John Lopez. Here's more from J.J. Watt with Mike Florio talking about the trust issues and observing other leagues getting started. So you know the NBA is about to start. MLB is about to start. J.J. Watt talking about having the advantage of being third in line, as well as the trust issues. I mean, you got to trust guys to make the right decisions. You got to trust guys like the Carlos Correas of the world who won't even let their wives go to a beauty salon. Not everybody's going to be that responsible. Here's J.J. Watt on those two obstacles.
We're all looking at the NBA and the MLB to see how it goes for them. I mean, we have an opportunity where we don't start for a little while after they do. Do guys follow along with every set of the protocols? Do the teams follow along with every set of the protocols? There is going to be some level of trust factor that's going to have to come into play where you have to trust that guys are going to be doing the right thing on their free time. It has to come down to how safe can you possibly get it, and are you comfortable taking that risk?
There it is. Man, I mean, 100%.
Yeah, listen, that's going to be the single most important factor in locker rooms this season for the NFL is guys.
You're going to have to grow up faster than you normally would.
Way faster than you normally would. You're going to have to sacrifice things you normally wouldn't have. And you're going to have to trust the guy next to you. And trusting a guy next to you is a very common theme in NFL locker rooms when you're talking about playing and what you're going to do from play to play, that trust. Now you're having to have even more trust on guys of what they're going to do when they leave the facility, because it can directly affect your health, and it can affect your family's health, and it can affect your ability to play football at a high level, because if enough guys get the disease, now you're going to have position groups that are severely hampered, and you can't go out and play games because you're going to be in quarantine. So the ones that come out of this, I'm going to have a lot that come out on top, I'm going to have a lot of respect for, because they had the right procedures and protocols in place, and those guys sacrificed a tremendous amount of just being a normal human being in order to win a championship this year. It's going to be extremely important that guys trust one another and guys do the right thing when they leave the facility.
You got to grow up, Rooks. I know you want to hit that club. You got to grow up a little bit quicker, make responsible decisions. Your team's relying on you as a rookie now more than they ever have. And that is even if you're not getting on the field. Like, it sometimes rookies are kind of like, oh, I'm not playing. You know, I can nah. you still got to be just as disciplined off the field, yeah, because the coronavirus is equal. Like, if you're third string, if you're first string, if in the past, third stringer can maybe go live it up a little bit more because he ain't going to have to play. Nah, you're going to have to be just as responsible as that first stringer because the virus can spread. Here's JJ on shaming players who do opt out, because we've seen guys opt out. Buster Posey, by the way, in the MLB, not going to play this year. We've seen guys do it. JJ hopes that they don't get too much criticism from fans and media types.
There shouldn't be a stigma if you do choose to opt out. If there is a legitimate reason for you to be opting out and you don't feel comfortable, whether it's for yourself, whether it's for your family, you're making the best decision for yourself and for your family. If we ever get to the point where we're shaming people for dropping out of a sport because they want to protect the health of their family, then we're in a tough spot.
See, I get what he's saying there, but I think he kind of makes a mistake, and this is nitpicking, but I think when he says a sport in quote marks, I think that's almost that's almost minimizing how people choosing to opt out. Because if you say a sport, you're kind of hinting like, oh, it's just a game. Like, no, in the big scheme of things, it might be, but it's also a high paying job. So it's not that they're just opting out of a quote sport. They're opting out of a high paying job that would pay them a lot of money to do what they feel is best for their families. So I think it's actually even more ridiculous to shame them than if a sport were trivial, if that makes sense.
Well, I get the money side of it. I get the money angle, but your health is the most important thing that you have.
But I think it's a bigger sacrifice. But I think it's a bigger sacrifice because of the money and that. Like I think athletes are making a sacrifice like everybody else in this situation, and that they're making the money. So I think it's an even bigger sacrifice than he's saying.
So you're basically saying that JJ is kind of diminishing how big of a deal it is if you were to opt out.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of diminishing. I think it's even more of a sacrifice if you're willing to leave millions of dollars on the table for the betterment of your family than anything. I think sometimes you have the luxury and your bank account's deeper, but I think it's even more of a sacrifice.
I don't know. I think anybody that is going out each and every day and risking their health, I got a lot of respect for them. If you're not willing to do that, I got a lot of respect for you too, because
it's your choice.
And nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do when it comes to going out and working a job. And if guys don't feel comfortable with working a job, whatever that job may be, and you have the ability to still be a fully functioning person in society, and you're not going to cause anybody any issues because you opted out of doing that job, then so be it. Live your life, man. I ain't mad at you. So if people are shaming any professional athletes because they decide not to play a sport, kick rocks, dog. Because they decided they didn't want to do their job this year because they feel like it's too dangerous and they don't want to risk the health of their family members or themselves, to kick rocks, bro. I mean, there's things to be mad about in life, but shaming people because they don't want to play, that shouldn't be one of them.
713-572-4610 to get in. JJ Watt, pretty good stuff from him. He's going to talk about the most important thing regarding the challenges, the obstacles the Texans will be facing. He also got headline porned worse than I've ever seen. Let's play the hits. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, where you at? Astros, they were on the screen yesterday. It was lovely. The hits are next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by United Rentals, the tools and equipment you need for any job. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Terrible headline porn yesterday in the direction of JJ Watt. We've heard from best player in franchise history, on a lot of the issues facing the Texans a couple weeks away from reporting to training camp, God willing. Here's him talking about the most important thing, though, and the most important thing that he as a player, he as a member of the 2020 Texans, wants to happen when they do report, courtesy of Pro Football Talk.
And the biggest thing that we want is just answers to these questions. I think the most important thing for us is getting everything right so that everybody feels as safe as possible, as comfortable as possible with what we're going to do, whether that is on the report date, whether that's pushed back, whatever it may be. But I just don't want us to get into a situation where we bump up to this report date and we say, oh, no, now we got to figure it out. That's where you get yourself in the trouble.
Listen, JJ hit that the nail right on the head. Like, listen. The fact of the matter is guys need as much information as possible and be on the same page so everybody can buy in and know what's expected out of them, then you can move forward. The last thing you want to do is to start up too soon just because you have a deadline that's already set in stone and you not have everything worked out, so guys are half in, guys are not sure of what's going on, they're not really a fan of what's going on, and then you have to hustle backwards and pause it or suspend things and work off of that. I thought this was a great point that JJ brought up. And he's been on the calls with the NFLPA and the NFL. That's good that you have somebody like that with sound reasoning and is trying to get the details and the minutia worked out before you even start anything. And so if they were to move the preseason back a couple of weeks or move the season back or make if that's what if that's what's in the best interest of everybody involved, then they should do that as opposed to try to stick to a set deadline.
Here is JJ in the bad of the interview, because he's hit the nail on the head a couple times. Usually when you wrap up an interview, you might have a joke or two. He had a joke, and he was clearly kidding, but the headlines read that JJ Watt was basically demanding that if the NFL made him wear a mouth guard, he would sit out. Here's the context of JJ Watt and Mike Florio in the quote that made the media rounds yesterday.
Gatorade's been good to me, and they've always helped me beat the heat, so I'm just trying to pass on the message.
I saw a tweet that you had about a month ago about the possibility of the face shield inside the face mask all the way down. That does not beat the heat, does it?
My second year in the league, you know, I thought it'd be cool. I put a visor on my head. I was like, it looks so cool. I want to put a visor on. I had it on for about three periods of practice, and I said, take this sucker off. I'm going to die out here. I literally, just the face one. So now you're going to put something around my mouth, and you can keep that. If that comes into play, I don't think you're going to see me out there on the field.
Well, hey, JJ, we wish you all the best. We hope football gets it all figured out. Hope to see you on the field this season. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right,
thanks. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Clearly joking. Take care, pal. Like, it's very obvious. Florio's even laughing. He's plugging Gatorade. He's clearly joking. So how does Around the Horn on ESPN, the marquee sports network, how do they start off their number one debate show, Around the Horn?
J.J. Watt says he won't play if he has to wear a face shield. Clifton James, we'll start with you. Around the Horn to you. The floor is yours. Go.
I kind of love this from J.J. Watt. I don't necessarily always love everything he does.
I mean, come on, dude. Are y'all serious? Like, does ESPN, maybe they just made enough budget cuts to where they don't have to do any research? Pro Football Talk did the interview. They didn't even use this quote. It's clearly at the end. It's clearly out of context. Give me a break. Give me a freaking break on that. That's ridiculous.
And I understand ESPN doesn't have a lot to talk about right now. There's very little content for them to digest and discuss because we don't have sports going on like you normally would. But they easily could have flipped that topic and said, J.J. Watt was on with Florio yesterday, and he joked about the fact that he wouldn't play if he didn't wear a mask. Do you think that would be an issue with some guys that they wouldn't be willing to play if they didn't wear a mask or if they were mandated to wear a mask? You could chop that up and discuss it. The way they posed the question, it was like, now J.J., he's going to die on
his ground.
He's standing his ground. He's drawn a line in the sand, and he ain't going to play if he has to wear a mask. Come on, ESPN, you got to do better.
You got to do better. And they weren't the only one. That was some misleading headline porn, to say the very least. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Hits are lit here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Smitty in for J-Lo. Let's go to Richard. Richard, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I like the multitude of perspectives and banter y'all have going on. Landry, I thought you said something kind of interesting in that you had to regard these players additionally as high paid employees. I have exactly the opposite sociological view. wealthy people are the very ones who feel no obligation to come back from their jobs because they have options. It's poor people who have to go back to their jobs because they have no options.
Right, right.
Rich people are the most likely to walk away because they don't absolutely need it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rich. If I didn't make it clear there, I've made it clear in the past, but my point was that the financial sacrifice and the gain is higher. So it's not like they're just walking away from a sport. Because I thought when JJ said, you know, a sport, the way he said it made it seem like, you know, they were just walking away from, like, their beer league softball game. Like, these guys are walking away with millions of dollars, from millions of dollars. But I get what you're saying, and I think you're 100% correct, Richard. They have the luxury to do that because they have more in the bank account. So, like, you or I, we don't have the luxury to, you know, just sit out, but they do have that. But I was just saying that it still is a lot of money to walk away from, but you're 100% correct. The athletes that have their bank accounts piled up don't have the luxury that you or I do to, you know, make that decision.
Amen, brother. Y'all have a great weekend. Peace
right.
out.
Yeah, yeah, he's right. I mean, yeah, that's I was just talking about it in that context, but yeah, he is right. A lot of these athletes, like the J.J. Watts that have the 100 million plus in the bank account,
yeah,
they me, Richard, Figgy, we don't have the luxury to do that, but it is still a lot of money that you're leaving on the table is all I was saying.
Yeah, it's a lot of money being left on the table, but I think one thing that we're not really mentioning is that if enough players decide not to play and opt out and have that mentality that you're kind of discussing, there's going to be a lot of people that don't make a lot of money that are going to be out of jobs. And so that part is important. Like by saying, okay, we're just going to not do sports, you're basically saying there's a lot of people that work in stadiums. There's a lot of people that are support staff or organizations are going to be out of jobs as well. And I don't want that for anybody. I want as many people working as possible. This pandemic has stressed this country enough. If you take away sports, that's more people that are going to be stressed and going to be in situations where they're looking for their next meal or they're looking at ways to pay their rent or their mortgages. So I think it's important that we don't forget that part of it. When everybody's trying to shut down sports, you're not just shutting down millionaires. You're shutting down people that work for $10, $12, $20 an hour at stadiums or at various locations at restaurants that are in the area.
Bars.
Bars, restaurants, all that type of stuff. So let's not forget that part because that is important. To me, that's actually the most important thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. We appreciate the call, Richard. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Shout out to all the loopholes out there. If you listen, you are one. Laremy Tunsil and Charles Omenihu, the Texans offensive lineman and defensive lineman, they weighed in on the NFL banning the jersey swap. Omenihu said COVID doesn't exist during the game, only during jersey swaps. Bet. Laremy Tunsil said the NFL was a joke, which led to someone questioning him and saying, you know all about masks, referring to Laremy Tunsil at Ole Miss, hitting the gas mask, smoking the weed out of a gas mask, which I have done twice in my life, and I will tell you it is...
Ugh, I'm low-key faded, bro.
Definitely was. Someone called him out, and Laremy replied to the man, who I guess has a wife named Laura. The only reason Laremy knew that is because he's one of those guys who puts it on his profile, husband to Laura. Quote... Laura,
you asked her for trouble.
Laura, parentheses, your wife knows a lot about masks, too. Laremy Tunsil replying to someone calling him out.
Hey, don't forget the trust part, too.
Trust.
Like, she knows all about those masks, too. Hey, man, so Omenihu and Laremy, let's keep our eyes on the prize, and let's not take our eye off the ball. The NFL is going to do a lot of
goofy things.
Minute things, little things to CYA and make sure that they try to eliminate and minimize any possibility of the spread happening because that's their product. And they, if the spread happens, they're already losing money. They're losing even more money. And then you also have to add into the fact they don't want their players to get sick or they don't want anybody that is coming in contact with their players to get sick. So there's going to be some things that you're used to being able to do that you won't be able to do. And will it make 100% sense? Probably not. But is this something that you say, okay, we shouldn't play at all? Kind of going back to what Deshaun was saying
yesterday.
Choice, it was
right?
Like, it's like, listen, man, I understand that it might not make perfect sense, but nobody really knows. Nobody knows 100% this is the way that you prevent it from happening, except for shutting it down and staying at home. And you cannot do that. You cannot just shut down the world and not do anything for X amount of period, because people are going to break the rules and it's going to keep going. So you got to figure out ways within the parameters that get set up to just minimize the risk for everybody involved. And that's what they're trying to do.
Plus, there's no guarantee like a quarantine works. Like, there's really no guarantee. So you got to figure it out. You got to be more responsible, and you got to try to keep the world going. Smitty in for John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. There was some talk as we talk about the NFL eliminating things over the course of a game. Jersey swap came up. I heard a proposal. I think I heard it on NBC about potentially putting speakers in every player's helmet to avoid a huddle. And when I heard that, let me explain why it's a joke.
Okay, let me hear why you think it's a joke.
I think that's a disgrace to football. And I think I can convince you. I think that's a disgrace to football, because I get that it would stop people from huddling, but I also think that one of the most important parts of coaching, one of the things that I notice about good football teams is when they have to go fast, whether it be at the end of a half, whether it be at the end of a game, whether it be whenever they want to increase the tempo, it goes much smoother for the good teams than it does the bad teams. Or it goes much smoother for the elite teams than it does the average teams. Texans have a major issue with it, running tempo consistently, and sometimes it looks like they're lost. So I think if you do that, if you put a speaker in every player on offense's helmet, sure, it'd eliminate huddles, but I think it would also take away one of the most important aspects of coaching, and I think it would take away one of the most important aspects of the good quarterbacks who have control of the huddle and have control of the entire offense when they're speeding things up. I think that is such a key thing and such a key element of good teams that I think just eliminating that variable and eliminating that skill and eliminating that craft to make your offense synchronized, I think it would be unfair. And furthermore, if you're not going to have fans, it's going to be easier to hear whatever you're saying anyway. So I don't think you need to put the speaker in that. I just think it would take away something that is really, really important for good football teams to be able to execute.
I look at it like this, man, and we talked about this, I think last week I was on, and I was basically saying, like, the rich are going to get richer in this scenario. We're talking about in the world, and we're talking about in professional sports. If you have a really good set of practices and protocols and procedures that you utilize with your organization and you're an elite organization, you're going to strive and you're going to thrive in this pandemic, in the midst of Corona. If you have a bad organization, you guys have a bad group of and set of procedures and protocols, you're going to struggle. And it's going to accentuate how good you are, how bad you are at what you do. I ain't mad at that. If you need to be part of something, or you need to be the leader of something that is good in order for you to be successful. I'm not mad at that part of it. If you look at an NFL huddle, if they put speakers in the helmets, to me, I think that's a great idea. I think that's going
to
eliminate.
So just everybody can just not even have to really. It eliminates the amount of execution that has to go and run in a no huddle offense, where the quarterback has to tell the guard, he has to tell the center where to line up, and some of the best quarterbacks have that ability. You're just going to eliminate that and take that away from the guys that are good at it. That's to me, I think that's way too much of an equalizer. I don't like that.
You think it's an equalizer? So you're saying that the bad teams are going to be able to take advantage of the fact that they have speakers in it?
No. Yeah.
If you're a bad team, you're a bad team, bro.
No, but it eliminates the gap, and it eliminates the coaching advantage that those teams have, because now you can just say doubles right, 92 fade, whatever the hell they say, and now all of a sudden you don't have to talk about the blocking, all that type of stuff. I just think when a quarterback goes to,
like, we don't talk about the blocking in the huddle, though. Like, I mean, when you're in the huddle, you just call the play.
You have to yell, here he
comes. You might talk about the blocking at the line of scrimmage because you see something. You might have a reminder. But if you're talking about who you're going to block as you're in a huddle and you're walking to the line of scrimmage, you're in trouble.
I hate it, man. I hate the possibility. The Texans would be great for them. I mean, because they suck at running hurry up. Maybe it'd be nice if everybody heard the play. Honestly, like, they suck at it.
But
it's,
that's,
it's not
the hearing
not
the play is not
it.
The issue. It's the play coming into to the quarterback and the correct play
and
being
then
called.
He has to communicate it. But then he has to communicate it, and I think that's a skill that a lot of quarterbacks have. I think that's a skill, and the coach has to get it to you, and then the quarterback has to tell the team when they're trying to line up no huddle this is here, or the coach calls a few plays before. That's a skill. If all of a sudden everybody hears it, that skill's gone, and well, you're just lining up.
Well, let me ask you this, because you know, I didn't hear about this until I'm just hearing it from you.
Are it the, was just are an coaches, idea. It's not anything there. It was just a proposal. It's not
but
like
I'm saying,
something
in
being
in,
met on.
In the proposal, are they saying that the coaches can talk to each individual player?
I don't even know if it was proposed. It was just hypothetical.
Okay, because in a hypothetical, I think it would be fair if you put speakers in everybody's helmet, but the other players on the team could only hear the quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So it's not because when you normally play a football game, the coach can talk to the quarterback and that's it.
Yeah.
So if you had it to where the coach can talk to the quarterback, but the quarterback can talk to the rest of the guys, then to me, that eliminates the issue that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now, if the coach can talk to each individual player and say, hey, on this play, you got to do this. Watch for this. Now you're messing with the
integrity.
I think
the quarterback would just be able to talk to everybody.
Well, then I think that's
fair.
And
he wouldn't have to relay the message.
I think that's fair.
Hell no,
I think
man.
That's fair.
Man, Wade Smith driving me nuts right now. Good
that's,
Lord.
That's cool. It's like that sometimes.
Driving me nuts right now. Astros yesterday, little exhibition. Justin Verlander, 3 hitless, scoreless innings. Only guy that reached base was on an error. Struck out George Springer a couple times. Lance McCullers looking good. 67 pitches in 4 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. Kyle Tucker drove in the only run. Rockets got on a plane. They went to Florida. 2 key missing pieces, though. James Harden, Russell Westbrook not on the plane. We can investigate that a little later, but eyebrows raised a little bit, especially when James Harden's videos of his alleged private parties are going on. And Big Ten, as we conclude the hits, only playing conference games in 2020. Talked that they might have 10 conference games instead of 9. A lot of people talking about, you know, this could be a sign of things to come. This is about money. Because if the Big Ten adds a conference game and they get rid of their non-conference games, and there were some good matchups, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan, Washington, Penn State, Virginia Tech, Iowa, Iowa State. Adding an extra conference game, though, I think they actually might make more money than hosting the Alcorn States and everything like that. That usually benefits the small guys. This is actually just a money-making thing, I think, from the Big Ten. Big 12 and SEC have said they're not following suit just yet.
Well, I'll say this. It usually has to do with money, but in this case, I think another point that's very important is that if you play only conference teams, you know you guys are playing under the same set of protocols and procedures.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about how the testing is done before games and all that, you're in the same rules. And so if you go from conference to conference,
pain in the ass.
That's not going to be the case. You're be like, well, what are y'all doing over there? Or when is and so that becomes issues. I think that's the huge factor in why they're determining that, hey, we're just going to play conference games.
Especially when you're facing like the smaller schools that don't have the resources that Big Ten schools have. There's a lot going on there. We'll see if the Big 12 follows suit. If they do, LSU, you're lucky. About to get that Sam Ellinger, Tom Herman ass whoop in week 2, so you can dodge a bullet there.
You don't believe that.
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
You always got to hit me with that, don't you, Figgy? Will J.J. Watt have any help on the D-line in 2020, the final part of the In the Loop position series, the D-line, or is it Watt and Company? We'll discuss next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week 1? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.